Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show with your host, Jeff Byboth and Jason Kilby. We talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends. Welcome back to the Hardwater Fishing Show, Season 2, Episode 3. So we are in the first week of December 2018, and our topic tonight is going to be fishing shows.
We are kicking butt over our last year's pace, I think.
I think you're right. And I'm excited. Like, going to the fishing show, it's like an invigoration, you know? You see all the cool new stuff and tactics, and it'll be awesome.
Well, I think the early ice, too, has kind of got everybody amped up about fishing.
Yeah, I agree. So we're still right around 5,500 downloads, so... we're seeing great response. I've seen a ton of action on our Facebook page, bunch on Instagram too. Thanks, Jay, for setting that up.
No problem.
You know, our traffic is looking pretty good everywhere. I got a bunch of feedback, and it's been awesome. And, you know, of course, you can catch the Hardwater Show on pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast. So check us out.
Yeah, it's always fun to have... information from listeners and to hear kind of what their stories are. I was looking at kind of where our listeners are coming from. And you know what the second most listened to state from is? Like the state that listens to us second most after Minnesota?
Well, I know it's, we have listeners in South Korea, but I know that's not the second
number
most.
Two. No, it's, I hope I get this right, but Virginia.
Really? Virginia.
Huh. Yeah. And so what I wondered was, either there is some ice fishing in Virginia. I looked it up, but I wonder if it is, there's a lot of military bases over there. And so I wonder how many of those listeners are actually Minnesota boys and girls.
Yeah. I've noticed we actually, you know, speaking of South Korea, that's actually, you know, why we have some listeners there too, or at least the ones that we've talked to. We're actually military too, so I wonder if that's kind of a theme. I don't know. I mean,
well, I think there's a connectedness, you know, when we talk about Minnesota. So I hope we're providing that for folks that are there in the service, and thank you for what you do. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, thank you for their service. Yes. All right, so that's the show information. Nothing major out there. I got the notes out there from last week. So they should be out there with all the links and everything you need. I've heard from some listeners, and I know I talked to somebody in Michigan this week too. So we do have some listeners out there in Michigan. I even had to send a sticker off that way. So appreciate that. And, you know, an easy way to get your sticker also is to become a patron on there. If you give us a little bit of money, we'll send you a sticker and you can follow us. And that's pretty cool. So. Anyways, back to the show. We'll get off show information. So, Jason, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I'm still hanging in there with the old style, buddy. It's just so classic.
I'm going to have to get you. Is there like beer of the month I can ship you or something?
I would not turn that down. Christmas is coming up and you've missed my birthday for 20 some years.
Yeah.
So,
except for that one time when we were sitting there we were at your grandparents' cabin. We're sitting there on the swing, you know, we were been fishing all day.
And this isn't weird. We were just, it's where you sit.
It's where you sat there, but there's a point to my story. There's a point to my story, but here we are, young Jason and young Jeff. I mean, cause this was a few years ago.
Sitting on the swing. I think we should just move on.
No, you have to finish the story now, Jay. I mean, you can't start this and stop.
Okay, go on.
So we're sitting on one of these wood swings, you know, like you'd see in a porch. And, you know, being the sensitive friend that I am, Jason goes, well, you know, it is my birthday today.
He didn't know.
I didn't know. That's terrible.
I'm the middle child.
That's terrible.
I'm used to nobody caring.
And then to tie it into the beer, to get the whole beer thing going here, is then we decided we needed to get some beer, but it was Sunday in Minnesota, and you can't buy, at that time you couldn't buy beer in Minnesota. You can now, but at that time you couldn't. It was kind of a rough day.
It really was. All right, I'm going to open my beer. Enough All of right. this chatter. There it is.
That was a healthy opening. All right, so tonight I am drinking the old standby Born in the Rockies Coors Light. And yes, my mountains are blue. So here we go.
Yeah, see, now that has a good solid open, unlike some of that other stuff you drink.
Yeah, no autumnal meads or anything like that, like in the Bud Light commercials tonight. It's just Coors Light. The Pounder, in fact, 16 ounces. So ice fishing report. I don't have anything personal from ice fishing because I was going to try to get out last weekend, but life gets in the way. And I did go to an ice fishing show on Saturday morning, but just didn't get out. And, you know, honestly, the ice around here is still, I mean, I see lots of reports of people out and there are places of people being out, but the ice conditions, even though it's been cold, I feel like I haven't been super awesome. I'm sure there's some listeners that can give me some feedback on that, but I feel like it's just been kind of all over the place. So I don't know, Jason, do you have any fishing reports?
I don't. I would say that the perch are biting up on Clear Lake, and that's a pretty well-known fishery, North Iowa there in the center part. And they do have ice. There's a bait shop up there, Clear Lake Bait and Tackle. Check them out on Facebook if you're an Iowa person or even Southern Minnesota person. Great folks, and they do a lot of give you a lot of info on the lake, and they're very, very helpful. So they do kind of a weekly ice report. They go out there and they hit it with a spud bar and show you what they're talking. And they're saying the ice is pretty good, so come on out. But don't drive your truck yet, please.
Yeah, so it must be okay up here. I don't know. So I'm hoping to get out real soon here. I think the most... In Minnesota, the thing I've been seeing the most is lots of fish on Red Lake. And so I'm not giving any secrets away there because, you know, every other picture is of Red Lake. So I think they're hitting pretty good there. And from what I hear, it doesn't last forever. It's kind of an early ice thing. So, you know, I guess we'll find out.
For those of you that don't get a chance to fish as much as you want, just keep listening to our podcast. We will not make you jealous. But stay the heck off Facebook because you're going to become suicidal and need medication.
Yes.
So listen to us. How does everybody listen to Facebook because you'll be depressed.
Yes. If it's yes, Jeff went to another softball game instead of going fishing.
You're
going to
hear that
that's,
here.
That's my life. Exactly.
So we're keeping it real. Exactly. Keeping it real for everybody. All right. Should we roll?
That's
Let's
right.
roll. We're I think just for our listeners, you know, we've had some shows that run over an hour, right at an hour. We're trying to do a little quicker show to help people get them in a little bit better. So I guess let us know if you like that format where we move things along a little bit better or if you want us to ramble more. We're happy to oblige either one.
Yeah, and Jason will say, Jeff, shut up. We need to move on.
Yeah, I'm the taskmaster today. I'm the jerk at the All meeting right. saying, next.
Next. Beep. All right. Current events. We're on current events. So this kind of relates to the fishing ice report, but the Star Tribune, I read an article, and I think I read this somewhere else too, but last week again, they had some issues out on Red Lake where people were getting cracked off. I think we talked about that last week where people were on a part of a piece of ice that floated away. And the interesting thing I thought was Phil Hodapp, who is the sheriff, I believe, in that county where Red Lake is. And his quote was, go buy some fish sticks.
Yeah.
Wait till the ice is safe. So they rescued two different groups of people off the ice, they said. And just make sure you wait until it's time.
Well, they had a big rescue up at Park Point there in Duluth. Too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Floated away, which, you know, the wind changed when they're out there. I don't blame them a whole lot. And even the fire department didn't seem too angry with them, but it happens every year.
Mm-hmm.
One guy swam for it and made it, which he must have had to get home.
So really, does Lake Superior get colder, though? I mean, I know there's ice on top, but it's cold
all
the time. I mean,
I bet that guy was native from Duluth.
Yeah. Yep, I bet you're right.
All right. So let's just, we're going to not talk about gear this time because the fishing show report Jeff's going to give has got all sorts of gear stuff.
Absolutely. So we are on to our main topic.
That was record time.
That was record time. I mean, that's pretty good, Jay. I mean, I feel like we're on pace. We're doing good. So the we both attended fishing shows. Jason, you attended one in Iowa, correct?
It was an open house at a Hank's bait shop. So it was a fishing show, Iowa style. And it was a great little show. And so I don't know if you want to go first but it wasn't an ice fishing show by the St. Paul fishing show. It's like saying the casino on I-35 at the Iowa border is like Vegas.
I've seen that place. It does not look like Vegas. It looks like a barn.
That's actually the welcome. Well, yeah, it does kind of look like a barn now that I think about it. But anyway, yeah, I digress. Yeah. Why don't you tell us about the St. Paul ice fishing show? I'm excited to hear about it. He wouldn't even tell me about it, guys. He's like, wait for the show.
Yeah, you got to wait for the show. I know, details.
But I want to hear about it. Nope, not telling you nothing. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll podcast with you again.
I went to the St. Paul ice fishing show, and I ended up going Saturday morning, and I attended during the VIP hours. Now, you might think that's because I am a VIP, but actually it's just because you pay more money. Normal entry costs $13, and if you pay $20, you can go 2 hours early and there's less people there.
I'd pay that.
Yeah, it if you've ever been there, it's worth the extra $7 because at full tilt, the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, you can barely walk in the place. I mean, if you've ever seen pictures, I posted some pictures last year. I mean, it is wall to wall guys and gear. You know, it's pretty crazy. So, but it makes it fun. It gives a good atmosphere. When I walked in there, so I walk in there and there was a line to get in because they were doing metal detector checking this year. Yeah. I don't know why. So my favorite lady of the entire day, she goes, "This is not the line to buy tickets. This is the line to wait in line." And then I walked what felt like a mile. It was probably not a mile, but it was quite a distance past that line and then past the line where you get your tickets. And it looked like I would be there for a very long time. I took a picture. I think I posted that in Instagram,
yeah, I saw
so
that.
You can check it
picture
out.
Picture the back of everybody's head.
Yeah, so we were standing in line and I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be bad. But it actually turned out great. Things went really fast. I would say it started at 8 and I got there about 8 and by 8:15 I was in the show. So,
well, that's
so
better than Disneyland.
Yeah, but then I got a little anxious because then you're there early, right? You've paid extra to be there a little earlier, but you're like, oh my gosh, what do I do with this time where less people are here? I got to make sure I see everything really fast. So I kind of, you know, I got around to things, but I did start with ice fishing shacks, I will admit. It's kind of nice to have one place where they're all the ice fishing shacks are, so the wheelhouses. So, anyways, long story long.
I'm still here. Sorry, I'm Jason. Just riveted to my seat waiting to hear the rest.
So the moral story is Jeff stood in the line.
Yeah, that was the last 5 minutes, folks, if you want to just jump ahead.
You could just skip that part. So my favorite thing about ice fishing shows is not the stuff that you can see, maybe that you could go look at Cabela's, even though that's kind of interesting. I like to look at kind of we used to call them gizmos, Jason, right?
Absolutely.
Like gizmos. So they're things you buy, but they're kind of gadgety, right? I mean, we're not talking about a beaver dam tip up or a standard fish house. We're talking about kind of the on the edge, the guys who are coming up with things that are just a little different than everybody else is doing. Back in the day, I would call this the things that people would do at home, just home built stuff, right? I mean, it's kind of where ice fishing came from.
Yeah, and there's stuff that's cool, but maybe there's not a big enough market for, you know, to put it on the shelf at Walmart.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And maybe it's not that cool, but it's still fun to try.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You have some experience.
I mean,
even if
it doesn't work that well, it's still cool to take a picture of yourself catching a fish with
it.
Yeah,
sure.
So, okay, so the probably my favorite thing I bought when I was there was this thing called the bucket hoodie. And Jay, I'll show you in the video. You can kind of see it here, right? The bucket hoodie.
Let me. I try not to look at you during the podcast, but no, there it is. What the hell is
so
that?
So there's the
heck. Sorry, edit.
Oh my gosh!
What the heck is
family
that?
Show, Jason.
I know. Meh. Sorry, it was the old style talking. What is that thing?
So basically, it kind of looks like a bowling bag,
yeah,
right?
With a hole on one end.
Yeah, so the bucket, you get a 5-gallon bucket. In this case, it was a 6-gallon bucket. And then it's like a bowling bag with the bottom cut out. And that, like, straps onto the bucket. And so the idea is, you know, when you get a bucket, there's stuff that sticks out, right? Your rods stick out. Your tip-ups stick out.
That's because they're too long for the bucket.
Exactly.
Where are we going with this?
So with the bucket hoodie, you can zip that thing up. And then they're all protected in there.
What if it's too long for the bucket hoodie?
No, the bucket hoodie's pretty big. I mean, it's gonna fit. So
you know you're gonna have some that's not gonna fit in there, and you're gonna have the thing unzipped.
No. It's been scientifically designed. There's a patent. I talked to the guy who did this, and I'll put his information out there. But you know, it's pretty cool. And hey, if nothing else, during the ice fishing show, I took the bucket with the bucket hoodie, and I was able to put all my junk in there from the ice fishing show, and it worked. It held all my junk.
Do you ever think the guy from the patent office just goes home shaking his head at night? And he's like, you wouldn't believe what I saw today. I bet he does. But it looks it'll be interesting to see it in action, and I'm going to make it my goal to find something that you have to put in there that makes it not zip. That's but otherwise it looks like a really good concept, right? I'm not knocking the concept. It makes sense.
No.
I guess.
So Jason, you should appreciate it the most because you're usually the guy who has his like thingamajig wrapped up in his but then your bucket of crap gets tied up with the gadget and then there's line and
but I don't
gadget
see how the hoodie's gonna do that. It's just gonna make it so you guys can't see it. The other thing is
it's kinda like it's like cleaning up your house.
What I would say.
Like, you just shove everything in the closet and shut the door.
Is a guy could slip a fish into that bucket hoodie and zip it up. And you might not be aware of that for quite some time.
There might be a legend.
Just throwing that out there. Okay, what else did you see? Bucket hoodie. All right.
So, bucket hoodie. So, the other thing that I saw, I talked a while to this guy at Clam, and he was telling me about the Clam R&D research and how they do things. And it was kind of interesting. He said, you know, they'd take feedback from customers and they have a big meeting every year when they talk about what Clam is going to come out with the next year. It was really, really engaging. I mean, you know, they take feedback from users and prototypes and putting things out there. But one of the things they had this year was the Clam Floor. And I have that really big Escape Ice Thermal, that giant circus tent.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we've fished out of that before. And so now they make a floor for it. And it looked to be kind of plasticky. I'm sure it's not plastic. But, you know, it's like a flexible tarp kind of thing that's custom fit to the bottom of the hub shelter. And then it had little flaps to put holes, you know, in each corner. So it was kind of supposed to solve some of those problems around people, you know, putting floors in those. It looked kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's kind
I would
of
like
cool
to try it out. Yeah. Provided some thermal thing, you know, I mean, maybe it helps you keep the floor a little drier. So I would like to try it out. I mean, I could see some pros and cons to it. I not that hubs are mobile, but certainly it doesn't make them more mobile, you know, have a floor to wrap up in it.
I think hubs are too, you know, they're mobile, but they're also make it so you can fish a large number of people in a portable. They're portable, not mobile.
Yes,
it's two different things.
You're totally right.
I
and
usually am.
dang it! Did I say that out loud? I'm not supposed
I
to.
I should
say
try
that
to figure out in a show how many times I can have you say you're right.
I'm gonna make my goal to not say you're right.
So Clam Floor. What was there any price is on that? I mean, like, what's that set you back? Shelter like what you have.
I didn't see that because, you know, when you're at the the clam booth. They're not like the ones selling them. They're just, the reps.
Okay.
So if I did some quick Googling, the refuge, which is much smaller than mine, was $150 for that floor for the clam refuge. So I'm guessing it's going to be, you know, a little more than that. But
okay. Well, cool.
So a couple $100. So not cheap, but, you know, if that's what you're into, that might solve your problem.
Well, if you got kids or cold feet, it might not be a bad deal.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So the other thing that I got was these cool slip bobbers. And I've bought funky slip bobbers before, but I decided that, hey, why not buy a different kind of slip bobber? So they have, it's like a slip bobber, and it has two little twisty things on the top and the bottom, so you can just put it on your line and kind of clamp them closed rather than have to, you know, slide it all the way up your line.
But does it slip?
It does slip. So you kind of put the line through the little slot in the bobber, and then there's like two little twisty things that kind of close the loop so that they stay on there. So, and then it came with also these kind of specialized bobber stops that you can just clamp on instead of the rope style.
Really?
So you could just run them up and down. Yeah. So,
well,
so
I like that if you want to switch over to a slip bobber quick and you don't have, you know, a rod there to do that. I mean, usually people have an extra rod, but not always. So, oh, there you go.
Yep, they're called the.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep. The slip lock bobber. So, and it was a great price. I got three bobbers and a bunch of stops for $10.
I can see that being a summer fishing thing too. That'd be kind of fun. Easy to use.
Yep. And they had three different sizes. It's made by Clear Blue Waters in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Made in the USA. So
made in the USA. So
those are cool.
Lovely.
And then another thing that I got, and then this might be my final little thing. There's a bunch of other cool stuff there too, but I got these jigs that kind of glow. You can kind of see them, Jay. So it's like a little light that you put inside of them. It's a pretty big thing. So this is made by Fish Daddy. So he showed me these cool lures, and then I got another one. And really, it's talking about the light, right? It has a little battery that has a light on the top. So the idea is that it's supposed to attract the plankton and stuff around the light. Mm. And so then the fish gets attracted to the plankton.
Because fish lights are not legal in Minnesota, right? You can't put a fish light down, battery operated.
Yeah. Light. Yeah. It's attached to the lure though. This looks a little more like it's a tube that just seals off this little battery with this light on top. And then the hook's attached to the bottom. So, I mean, it's not like you would put it independently. You would still hang your bait on the bottom of it. So it's not like something you just put a light down your hole. It's more like a like those other lures we were using last year, Jay, from Northland, that you stuck the little
glow sticks in them. But that's not a battery-operated deal.
Right. So this is battery-operated. So it's kind of like the glow sticks, but they said it lasts like, I don't know how many hours they said, but it lasts a long time. So you could fish with these things. And
well,
then
if we see it in a DNR guy or gal this winter, I'll ask him when you're fishing with it, hey, my buddy's using this battery powered deal. Is that legal?
Yeah. Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Jay.
He's here to help.
And then from the same place from Fish Daddy, and Andy Claiborne was who I talked to. So he's the owner of the company and he talked to me about this. But they also have this lure called the Dirty Bomb, which has an LED built into the lure in much the same way as those snapstick ones. Huh. So you can just drop it down the hole, and they had different colors. This was an 1/8 ounce, which is green, which he uses.
You're gonna have
and
like
he
a disco
those.
Going on down there.
but yeah, so fishdaddyoutdoors.com was where he was from, and he talked to me for quite some time, and he had some cool lures.
Very
so
cool.
Those are the kind of cool things that I saw at the show. There was a bunch of other stuff too, but you know, we got to end the show sometime.
It's neat to be able to talk to the guy that made, you know, whose company makes it, so you really get that connection with, you know, the company versus just, you know, you're standing at an aisle at a big box store. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that's what I like. I mean, these guys that I talked to were the owners of the companies that we're, you know, that make these products.
Yeah, that's neat. Good for you.
All right, so that's what I know of the show. Jay, what did you find?
Yeah, so I went to an open house. They call it like an open house, a nice fishing show kind of thing. But it's just at a bait shop in Waterloo. And I think this was the 12th year that they've done it. And it was the first time I've gone. And I tell you what, it was packed wall to wall with people in a not a real big shop. And I went to some seminars. And they had some really big names in the seminar. And so like the bro was there, which mm-hmm. is really cool. They had Tommy.
He's super nice. Super nice.
Tommy's last name. He's a big tournament fisherman. I was trying to figure out what his name was. But he was there and he gave some talks. They had a lot of different reps. They had a regional rep from St. Croix Rods there and talked about some fishing. They had a DNR fellow there from Iowa Department of Natural Resources, and they were talking about lake restoration. So unlike Minnesota, Iowa doesn't have as many lakes. So we do things with the lakes that are there. And so,
hey Jason, we have 10,000.
Yeah, we've got that before. Less than that, significantly. And so when we have them, so like Lake McBride, which is one of the lakes I fish, which is down by Cedar Rapids, south of Cedar Rapids, they did a huge lake restoration like 10 years ago, where they drain they lower, because it's an impound, and so, sure. So they lower the impound, and then they did a whole bunch of fish structure. And what was cool about it is he showed us the pictures of the lake, right? When they did the reconstruction of the lake, and yep. then showed us, okay, here's the map. And the DNR map marks all those things. And on you look at your DNR map and it just says rock pile, right? Well, you don't really know what that looks like. So he showed us the pictures of what it looked like during the restoration. And so it completely changes. It's like, you know, if you take your favorite lake and you drain it and you could see exactly what all the humps and the points and the underwater stuff looks like, it just blows your mind a little bit about, okay, that's what this looks like. And then you can start formulating, well, this is how I want to fish that. And so cool. It was really, I think it's going to be a big game changer for me as I look at that lake and I try to find structure. I'm more used to, I grew up fishing Minnesota when I was a kid. And so I relate to lakes more on a Minnesota basis than I do like what Iowa has done with them as far as the man-made structure, which yep. is a whole different type of structure. And so to my Iowa folks, if you're listening, that's, I guess, the advice that I would give is think about what the DNR has done to these lakes and all your major lakes. Clear Lake's the same way. All your impounds, your Lake Rathbun, which is a crappie factory down there, Coralville, Lake McBride, some of the other big ones. You know, these lakes have been man-made. Their features, underwater features, have largely been man-made. And so, you know, the eye-opener for me was I knew that, but it didn't conceptualize it till I saw all these pictures and had the talk. And maybe I'm just a little slow. But, you know, I always used to base what I thought underwater looked like based off what I saw on the shore and kind of thought about what that would look maybe, you know.
So, yeah, that's usually how I do it. Like, I look at the, you know, if you see a big hill going straight down to the water, you're like, oh, it drops off fast. If you see a gradual slope in the water, it doesn't, but you don't know what happens underneath that water.
Yeah, that point, you know, the point comes out or does this or does that. So so that was really neat. So I guess what I wanted to do, and Hank's Bait, if you're an Iowa person, you ever get to Waterloo, nicest people you ever find anywhere, you know, just put on a great show. No cost to get in. I listened to 4 hours of fishing seminars with $0 to cost to me. Like there was no entry fee or nothing. It was really cool.
I wish I could say that about the St. Yeah. Paul show. I was $30 down before I walked in the door. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Iowa nice. So some things.
Is that really a saying? I thought that was just Minnesota.
No, Iowa nice. It's a saying. It's a thing. It's a real thing.
Does that mean you're really nice?
Yeah. So one thing. So a couple of things that I learned. That are non-lake specific, but more lake structure specific, is when water levels, if you're fishing a lake that water levels are really high, because we've had a lot of rain in certain parts of Minnesota and Iowa this year, the fish are, you're going to find those fish more shallow than you're used to, which is interesting. Oh. So those fish are going to move up more in, more towards the shore, at least in early ice, because of the fact that you have a lot of nutrient rich areas where the bait fish are going to be because of the flooding and the higher water.
Sure.
So I thought, okay, that's really interesting. The other thing, one of the guys talked about, and some of you guys might know this, I hadn't really thought about it, milfoil. We all kind of curse milfoil. In the winter, great. Love it in the winter. Fish are there, hanging out, doing their thing.
My boat doesn't get stuck in the milfoil when I'm ice fishing.
Yeah, so that's an area to look at. You know, those the edges of that milfoil, the fish are going to be in there. The other thing, and we've probably done this without realizing it, is, and this was the owner from Clear Lake Bait and Tackle, which is another outstanding place. He was there and did some talks about Clear Lake. And he's a guide as well, so he really knows his stuff. And he was talking about the lights on our shacks. If you go on Trip Your Track or anything, everybody's rigging up their houses with all these lights.
Disco lights.
Disco lights in your shack, which I don't know, whatever. But what he talked about is they're actually installing dimmers on a lot of their shacks, or covering lights, because in a shallower lake, 12 feet and less, in clear water, which a lot of our lakes are getting now because of the what do you call those?
Zebra mussels. Critters,
the mussels, zebra mussels.
Yep.
The light will impact your fishing at night. And so they're very careful. He gave the tip of being very careful about having no light shining directly in your hole and really dimming down the light when you're fishing.
Interesting.
Which, hadn't heard that. That was hands down information. I mean, I just hadn't even thought about it, but it makes perfect sense when you kind of think about it.
For sure.
The St. Croix guy talked a little bit about and showed on rigging a minnow to use a particular knot. I think he called it the polymer knot. I'll look this up, but basic
polymer, yeah.
Where you tie it. And when you tie that, it holds the hook out horizontally with the line.
Sure.
So when you hook your minnow, it is horizontal in the water column, right? Instead of hanging down at the bottom of for your dead stick versus like hanging down at the bottom. Okay, hanging sure. Vertically. Same thing with your jigs, making sure you position your jig horizontally in the water column versus vertically.
That makes sense. Yeah. I know when I talked to Dave Gens last year, he had the same kind of idea.
Yeah. So now we've heard it twice, so it's got to be true.
Yeah, those are some people that know what they're talking about, so I would definitely listen to them.
Yeah, they know way more than I do. For when you fish, sometimes mid to late winter, late to mid ice, if you have a clear lake, it'll turn milky. It'll be milky kind of colored. And that happens because there's different algae blooms throughout the winter, even though it's cold out and down there. And that's a great time to go with a glow jig, was the other advice given.
Oh, because it's easier for them to spot your jig because exactly. It's shining.
Yeah, I guess. Let's see. Paying attention to the thermocline, which I think some folks know, some folks don't. So that thermocline in the winter is an area of like below the thermocline, which is a temperature. And you can see it on your fish finder sometimes or your VEX. The fish aren't going to be down there. They may go down there temporarily, but they're not going to hang out down there because the oxygen's too low. And so then when you are, and same thing in the summer, when you are looking for fish, if you can find where that thermocline and a hump meet, you have a natural area where fish locate.
Okay.
So that was kind of cool.
Is that why a fish like breaks sometimes? Because you're actually fishing the thermocline and you don't exactly know it?
Yeah, you could be. Yeah, exactly. Where they're, you know, on a hump or on a slope coming out from a point, you know, they're at 12 instead of 15 or 20 or 30. Yeah, it could be that thermocline.
Interesting.
So all of them really talked about figuring out where the fish are. And then, you know, once you kind of figure that out, even sometimes by accident, then looking for that pattern of well, why were they, you know, asking yourself the why was that fish there?
Right.
And I don't know. Some of that gets a little theoretical, but if you got the time in the ice shack, you can think about those things.
For sure. For sure.
I'm just trying to give you the aha moments for me. This was a big one. And I don't know, maybe I'm not the bright.
Jay, do you have a lot of aha moments?
Well, when you're not as bright as some people, you have more of them, which just makes the world a wonderful place. And you should know all about that, buddy. this was about jigging. So when I jig and have jigged, the power on the jig stroke is up, right? Jigging up, let it fall. Jig it up, let it fall, right? So the suggestion here was the opposite, where you slowly bring it up and then you snap your rod down so the lure flutters. And then slowly bring the rod tip back up, because that fish notices the flutter and strikes it as it starts to come up. But when you do a slow down and a quick up, you're almost pulling that lure away from the fish. So something to change up when you're jigging. And I was like, well, that makes sense. Well, how come nobody's ever shared that with me before?
And I'm always looking for new things to try, because, I mean, I'm sure everybody else just limits out and catches as many fish as they could possibly catch every time they go fishing. But I usually have to try a little harder than that. So new things are good to try.
Yeah. This one, I'm trying to read my notes. Structure facing open water near weeds for walleye. When you're on a new lake in the winter and you're trying to figure out, okay, where are the walleyes at? You're looking for structure near weeds with deep water nearby. I don't know. Look at your maps. And then you can say that and you can sound really smart to all your buddies. And then if you can drill a hole and catch a fish, you'll be a freaking god. And you learned it all here, folks. Well, we learned it from somewhere else, but we shared it.
We shared it. Yeah. We definitely did share it.
So that was that's kind of it in a nutshell. I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff that we might share as the season goes on, but that was definitely the highlights. It's really neat to, you know, I talked to the bro for a little while, sat in on his presentation. What a nice guy, just really down to earth. Tommy, just a really nice guy, down to earth. It's just these guys are just out sharing their love of fishing. And so if I learned anything, it's, you know, when you go to these fishing shows, take advantage of the seminars. Sit down and listen to what these guys have to say, because they know their stuff. And, they're out there trying to give good advice and share their love for fishing. So it's really cool.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm glad that I wish I could have spent more time in the seminars. They had some at St. Paul, too, but just only so much time. So. Awesome. Well, Jay, we're running a little late.
Darn
and
it.
I didn't have a specific legend, and we kind of told a legend at the beginning when we were talking about our beers and your probably like your 25th birthday. So I'm thinking maybe we should just close out the show.
You know, we could. We could just wrap it up. It feels a little anticlimactic, but oh man, yeah, we're already past our stated time. We just have so much to say.
So we'll just say the legend tonight was Jeff forgot Jason's birthday on the swing when he was 25.
Was it 25?
The end. I'm pretty sure it was 25, Jay.
God, it seems like so long ago.
I know.
All right.
It was. All right. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see
you next episode. Hey, what are we talking about next time? Are we even telling people anymore, or are we just rolling?
You know, I could pretend like I looked ahead and said what we were talking about next time, but I think we need to figure that out.
It'll be a surprise to you as much as it is to us.
Cheers.